Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast.
Hello and welcome to a somewhat belated Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, episode 25. The reason this week's episode is late is actually going to be the topic for this week and probably the next few episodes. I've been to Hokkaido, the northernmost island of Japan and my favourite nature photography location. I went on a four-day tour from the 17th to the 20th of February 2006. The tour was with one of the top Japanese nature photographers, Yoshiaki Kobayashi, and 12 other participants. It's taken me 2 full days after getting back just to sort through the photos from the first 2 days of the trip and post-process them and upload them to our website. I'm already a number of days late bringing you episode 25, so today I'm going to be just really showcasing a number of photographs from the first shoot, which was photographing Japanese cranes at the Akan International Crane Center. So first, let's look at photo number 836 on my website, martinbaileyphotography.com. If you are listening on an iPod, this will be the first and only image that you'll be able to see. If you are listening in iTunes, you can click through the images, as I mentioned them, by clicking on the little arrows above the thumbnail and then clicking on the image itself to view it in full size. Probably, if you are at your computer, though, the best thing to do would be to go to martinbaileyphotography.com and click on the podcasts link at the top of the page and then find this episode in the list. Last week, I actually added an index that will be updated automatically with the new podcasts as they're released each week. So now, rather than searching for past episodes in the table, you can now just sort of click on the link at the top there and it'll jump you down to the episode that you're looking for. This will probably make it easier now, as this is the 25th episode and it's getting a little bit difficult but time consuming to sort of run down and count through the episodes, so hopefully this will make things a little bit easier. Image 836 is the first image shot not long after setting up my Canon EOS 5D with the 600mm f4 super telephoto lens. I chose this image to talk about first because of the fact that you can see the breath coming out of the Japanese Red Crown crane's mouth as it cries. The shot is in no way perfect. There's a hump of snow obscuring the bird's feet, and a pigeon behind the bird to the left, and another crane right behind the bird to the right. But I do want to say that in addition to me liking this image because of the bird's breath being visible, it shows how easy it is to get great whites and blacks, that is, perfect exposure in difficult conditions, by remembering a simple rule. I spoke in detail about exposure and manual mode in episode 10 of this podcast, and I actually used shots from my last visit to this place in February 2004 to illustrate my points. To reiterate that quickly, though, basically when shooting mainly white birds against both white snow and sometimes a dark background, you cannot rely on your camera's inbuilt light meter. The reason is, in aperture priority mode, if you frame your shot with a lot of white in it, or mainly snow, the camera's meter will underexpose the shot and you'll need to compensate by plus 2/3 or 1 stop. But if you frame your shot while the birds are jumping or flying in with a dark background, the camera will meter for the background and you'll get greatly overexposed birds, blowing them out completely probably. What I do here, and thinking about it, this was actually advice from 2 years ago from the same pro that I'm with I was with this for this last 4-day trip, Yoshiaki Kobayashi. I point the camera down at the snow and fill the frame with white. Then I set my aperture to the desired size and change the shutter speed until I see on the camera's exposure indicator that it thinks that the shot is overexposed by one stop. If I can't get a fast enough shutter speed for the aperture, I'll raise the ISO until I can. Basically, what I'm doing here is removing the need to worry about the background. And I'm in manual mode. I don't think I mentioned that. You need to be in manual mode to do this, or the meter will continue to kick in. But basically, what I'm trying to do is stop myself from having to worry about exposure. As these birds move around, the last thing you want to be doing is thinking, do I have a white background now, a dark background? Do I need to undercompensate or overcompensate? Now, these things are not the sort of thing that you can be thinking about when you're trying to track moving objects across the scene. Of course, in manual mode, you do have to keep your eye on the weather, especially when it's changeable, as it was on this day. If the clouds roll in or it starts snowing, as it does later, you'll need to make adjustments. But if you keep repeating the process of reading from a full screen of snow and setting the exposure to plus one stop, you won't go far wrong. If you have a properly calibrated monitor, you should be able to see well-exposed whites and blacks in all of the shots from this location. In this first shot, I ended up at f10 for 1/800th of a second and ISO 160. The next shot, again, of the Japanese cranes is a slightly better composed image. Take a look at shot number 837. You can see, again, two cranes crying together, but without the distracting pigeon or other cranes in the background. This location, as I said, the Akan International Crane Center, is home to scores of Japanese cranes, and more fly in towards 2 p.m. when they feed the cranes. I think they were feeding them live fish. So it's not always easy to get a shot without either lots of other cranes or crows or pigeons or sparrows in the frame. This shot was actually taken with exactly the same settings, just 9 seconds after the previous shot, as the birds walked a little further around away from the other birds. Let's skip a few shots now and look at number 841. By the way, I'll put a link into the show notes so that you can list all of the shots from this trip by clicking through them at your leisure. The shots will actually probably be listed in descending order, with the newest first. If you want to view the shots in the order they were made, click on the last number on the bottom right of the browser window below the thumbnails, and then click the very last image. Then you can click the arrow pointing to the left again above each, keep on clicking the arrow pointing to the left above each image to view them in chronological order. Going back to shot number 841 of a Japanese crane in flight, this image shows exactly what I mean about the background can sometimes be quite dark. If I was using aperture priority mode set to plus one stop of exposure, while the birds had a white snow background, this bird would be so overexposed that the image would have been useless. This was shot at f11 at 800th of a second, again at ISO 160. I've not gotten brave enough to try panning with the with slower shutter speeds with my 600mm f4 lens yet. So I like the artistic touch gained by the blurred wingtips here. These cranes have a wingspan of around 2.4 meters, or just under 8 feet, and at a shooting distance of around 30 meters, or 100 feet, which is what I guess I was at here, the depth of field is actually only 1.8 meters, or 6 feet at f11. So I reckon that the wings are out of the DOF, or they're simply moving faster than the shutter speed of 800th of a second could freeze. Either way, I'm pleased with the shot. Take a look too at shot number 842, which I just find comical, as though the crane is running in large strides along the snow. This too was shot at f11 for 800th of a second, at ISO 160. So let's skip a number of shots now, though, and take a look at number 846. This again is a comical looking shot, as the crane jumps into the air with its wings flailing, looking as though it's almost lost its balance. Moving quickly along, I'm just trying to get through a few of these now. The next image is number 850, shot with my 20D, set at f8 for a 500th of a second at ISO 100. I rarely use two cameras simultaneously, but I find it invaluable to have two cameras with different lenses on when shooting birds that can fly over your head, requiring wider angle lenses very quickly. There's simply no time to change your lens when the birds appear overhead. A good thing about the Akan International Crane Center is that there are many people around, and someone usually calls out something like, there's three coming in from the left, or there's a family about to fly out in back. So even if you're looking through your lens, through your finder at a certain area and not concentrating on what's happening around you, you get a warning when some birds are flying in or out of the location. Anyway, I'm so pleased that I had my 100 to 400 millimeter lens on the 20D so that I was able to capture this shot. Technically not difficult, but it required having an extra camera set up with the correct manual exposure settings, set and ready and waiting. It was not shot with a polarizer. The birds, being white, are quite reflective, and so the sky gets slightly underexposed by comparison, making the blue sky quite saturated. I did notice that in the cold, the old BP-511 battery in the 20D went dead very quickly, despite keeping it the camera in a fleece cover with a solid fuel hand warmer burning in the pocket to keep the camera warm. The two BP-511A batteries in the 5D lasted a whole day under the same conditions. This might be worth considering or keeping in mind if you're using the older style Canon digital EOS batteries. Let's now take a look at 860, shot number 860, which I like because of the moment, basically. I spotted this young crane digging in the snow with its beak and tossing the snow around, and managed to capture a little as it fell away from the bird's beak. You can tell that this is a young bird because the red crown is not yet reaching the back of its head. A full-grown bird's red crown covers the whole head, as you can see in shot 840 if we step back 20 shots or so. Again, I'm still at f11 for 800th of a second, and now, though, I've actually upped the speed, the ISO, to 200. Shot number 860 shows another great moment. I titled this shot, Geez, These Crows Are Everywhere. It just shows a crane looking totally fed up with its wings out in disgrace. And luckily, this time there was a crow in the foreground for me to compose this shot in a comical way. In the next shot, 868, too, I capitalized on the birds other than the cranes by giving a flock of sparrows center stage and let the cranes take a side part for a while. A number of sparrows just taking flight add a little interest, and the two pairs of cranes walking together as though in deep philosophical conversation, though out of the depth of field, keep the shot interesting. Okay, although there are a lot more crane shots on my site from this trip, let's take a look at one last one for this podcast. Take a look at image number 869, shot again with the 20D, at f11 for 500th of a second at ISO 200, which is again a pair of cranes crying in unison. I wanted to close the crane shots with this one as it's one of my favourites from the day. While I was at the Akan International Crane Centre, I was lucky enough to spend most of the 5 hours or so that I was there standing next to a Japanese crane photographer, a crane specialist named Tsuneo Hayashida. Hayashida Sensei, as we'd call him, was actually the photographer that shot the crane image that was the base for the 1,000, the crane picture on the back of the 1,000 yen note that was in circulation for 20 years or so here in Japan until a few years ago. You can check out his work at the website japanesecrane.com. But as the site is mainly Japanese, I'll put some more links into the show notes to allow you to navigate to the photos. He has some great work there. Hayashida Sensei also told me how to differentiate between male and female cranes, which I'll pass on to you now, in case you don't know. I definitely had never heard this. But apparently the male always does one long honk, and the female always gives two short, sharper honks during that time. There's no rule with regards to which sex actually starts the honking. Apparently it's around 50% each. I also met an Australian-based photographer, Pavel German, while I was there. Pavel is a really nice guy, originally from Russia, but has lived in Australia for 20 years or so, he told me. His website is australiannature.com, all one word, no hyphen or anything. And I'll put a link to Pavel's website in the show notes as well if you're interested in checking out his work. It's great stuff. I've had a look through there myself. So that's about it for today. I'm up to 10 images for the podcast, and I don't really want to go over that. Plus, if I look at the clock on my audio software, I'm just coming up to 17 and a half minutes as well. So I'll cut it off for there today. In the next episode, I'll show you some eagles that appear from nowhere at 2 p.m. when the cranes are fed the fish. And then I'll go on to the second day where we headed out to initially the Bihoro Pass in the morning. I think we were there at around 5:45, 5:40, something like that, a.m., and the temperature was about minus 20 degrees C or minus 4 Fahrenheit. And a few more shots later in the day from the Kushiro Lake, the Omiwatari is what they're called. It translates as God's Walkway, which is where the ice that froze during the night or froze even more during the night expands during the day and then ruptures, forcing itself upwards out of the lake, making for an interesting sight. So remember that you can always contact me with feedback or request via the contact form on the podcast page at www.martinbaileyphotography.com or via the private messaging system from the forum, if you're a member. With forum members, I think we're right now at 199. There's one more to go for the big 200. It's actually becoming quite a lively place to discuss photography-related issues at all levels. So if you're interested, come along and register and join in. Of course, registration is free and just takes a moment. I'm always interested to hear your views, and we have a great crowd there. So you know, I guess not just myself, but we all look forward to hearing from you. So on that note, have a great week, what's left of it. I guess I should be saying weekend now. I'll probably be bringing you the next episode very quickly. I've pretty much done preparing for that. So you'll probably get two episodes in quick succession. But anyway, whatever you do over the weekend, enjoy yourself. Bye-bye.
This has been a Martin Bailey Photography Podcast.